episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I am your host, Jody Sweeten, along with Miss Covering Her Face and Not Looking at Me, Celia Bayar.
I totally was looking at you because you went into it so fast. I was like, I felt very unprepared.
That's how I feel before every time we do this show, is very unprepared. But it, you know what? It's working for us. Yeah.
Sure, I guess.
Yeah, that's some, you know, sort of, kind of. I will say I am very excited for our guest this week. She is someone who I became very fast friends with and just instantly connected to. And I have incredible admiration for her. Her name is Rosana Burgos, and a lot of people know her from the Abby family as Mama B. But she has... she's just an incredible light and an incredible spirit. So, Rosanna, I'm so happy to have you on the show today. Yay. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thank you, Rosanna. It's awesome to have you here.
Wow, guys, the love is mutual. Honestly, I have so much respect for the two of you. And it's just like, it's mind-boggling to be here, because one thing that I absolutely love are kick-ass powerful women. Mm-hmm. And when I get invited to the table, I'm just like, woohoo, doing my happy dance. So that's what I've been doing all day today before this.
Aww. Hey. Well, I like to always think that we're all already at the table. It's just a matter of which ones of us are speaking more loudly than others. And as we know, I'm apparently a very high decibel person. So
it's really fucking loud.
I'm part of the loud family. That's just who I am. Yeah. But Rosanna, tell us a little bit about some of our listeners that might not know of the Abby family. I found out about you guys through my kids years ago, when Vine was a thing. Right. And then we became friends in real life. I had met you, and I was like, oh, hey, that's that family. And then, yeah. So.
Yeah. And we met at Legoland. Shout out to Legoland for introducing us.
Yes. Yes.
And our families became friends, and, yeah. And yeah, we started off on Vine, never imagining to become well known. We just kind of did it to share some laughs with the world, because we're kind of a goofy, quirky family. It's just who we are. And from Vine, it moved over to YouTube and Facebook and now TikTok. And our videos have gone around the world, just making people laugh, shedding, you know, some lightness, some cheer on regular family life. And we make a lot of fun of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it resonates with people. And so we've had billions of views. We get a lot of positive messages saying, you guys have changed my life. You've gotten me through some really dark times. And that's what really keeps us going, is just sharing that positivity, because we need it now more than ever, right? Like we need to come together. We need to like work together. And so that's what we've been doing. And myself, like, I love to talk about more serious topics like women's empowerment, gender equality, LGBTQ, you name it. Like, I just love to lend my voice to it.
That is one of the reasons that I so admire and love you, is because you have been really, you've been one of the very vocal families and vocal moms that is very feminist and pro-feminist and really out there with support of LGBTQ issues. And I just love that, because, you know, there are those family oriented shows and things and podcasts and families that's, you know, that we love everybody. So, you know, I love what you do with that. I've seen you traveling the world, and I would love to hear a little bit more about what that has been like for you, especially as a mom.
Yeah, you know, it was awesome, because when I decided that I wanted to, you know, do something other than comedy, so I wanted to show people that there's another side of me, where I've always wanted to be humanitarian. Like, Princess Diana was my role model growing up, and I wanted to be just like her. And so, you know, when I kind of spoke to one person, they were like, oh my gosh, you know, come and visit us here, and come visit us here. And we want you to highlight this work. And so I've been to Iraq to visit women and girls that were captured by ISIS. Wow. I've been to Ethiopia, to Bulgaria to visit orphanages and institutions where children are living. I've been to Bangladesh to visit the refugees there, to Jordan to visit the Syrian refugees, and kind of just, using our platform and my voice to be a voice for the voiceless, you know, and to kind of show those of us who are super blessed to live in North America or in the UK, what is actually happening on the other side of the world.
Wow. Yeah, I am in awe of that. I can't believe Emily, our producer, just wrote in the chat, parenting stats would be nice. I'm like, of course. I just jumped right in. I was so excited to have Rosanna here and to tell us about like all the awesome things that she did. Like, I just assumed, everyone knows she's a mom and has seen her two kids, but please.
It's all a front. That's why maybe she doesn't.
Right, that's it. She actually.
They have so much fun because they're actors and she doesn't act.
They're you know different. What's funny?
Right.
Everyone thinks we're actors and we're not. We're a real family. Like it's my husband, myself. My son is going to be 16 next month. My daughter is 14 going on 32.
Yes.
And we've been doing this for 8-9 years now. And we're super blessed. Like we've always said, we'll stick around as long as people want us to stick around. But it seems like people still resonate with us. And so we'll keep making people laugh.
Wow. Amazing.
You know, you said you've been doing this for the last like 8 or 9 years. What has it been like? Oh, wait, we still didn't answer the, yes, we did. Okay.
You just did it. God.
Stop it. Stop.
This is how crappy our memories are. It was 5 seconds, Jody. 5 fucking seconds.
I know. But I was going... Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
I was going to say was not. I wasn't going to say that because that would be stupid. I wasn't going to say it at all.
No. Right.
No, I was going to say, what has it been like having your kids grow up sort of, you know, not being actors and not being, you know, necessarily in Hollywood, but yet being very well known in the world. Mm-hmm. And doing that publicly. I mean, I know it's hard for my girls sometimes to be, you know, more known than others. And I can't imagine what it's like for your family.
Absolutely. So it's also because we never intended for this to happen. And so that was never the goal. And so my husband and I are actually super introverted. We are very private. You know, you'll see us. We're not super flashy. We're not into the, you know, showing off kind of culture. So when this all happened, And keep in mind, I'm a trauma survivor. Like I've been through a lot of trauma in my own life. And my number one goal is to protect my kids from anything happening to them. And so I went into panic mode because I thought, how can I keep my kids safe if I'm exposing them to the world and putting them on a global stage? And so there was very much that battle of, you know, shining our family and being a light to the world, but kind of protecting my family from the weirdos and the creeps out there, which we have, you know, unfortunately had some situations with. But it's like, you can't live in fear. And that's one thing that I want to teach my kids is you cannot live according to the bad people in the world. You have to be true to yourself and commit to your goals, whatever that is. And yeah, there are going to be some bumps and bruises along the way, because that's the nature of the game. The higher you climb, the more difficult it's going to be. And even for you, Jody, like I see some of the stuff that you talk about and some of the comments, and I'll tell you the truth, like it hurts me. It hurts me because I know you how strong you have to be to read those things, but yet you're on a mission. And this is why I absolutely love what you do, is because people don't realize how hard it is to put yourself out there. And especially when you're fighting for the issues that you are, that we all are, you have to be really, really strong and brave and have a thick skin.
I get more upset, I think, about things that are posted to her than she does. Like that's
when I come down as a brave
person. Like she's like off doing something else. She responded with like a ha ha or something very witty and just like is like, oh, okay, whatever. Bye-bye. And I'm like, come on, like. I don't even know. Like I'm fighting. Like
yeah,
I'm
you're at the point, like you defend the, I'm like, I've never even heard that word used as insult and with the word fuck attached to it, but that is impressive. And, I'm going to use it for, you know, my next insult. Like it's you are creative. I will say at least with your insults. So I mean, Rosanna, I feel like your family never thought they'd say I'm famous or I'm a YouTuber.
Yeah, it's still weird for us. Like I'll be honest, we go to the mall and there's like kids who are freaking out, you know, they want to take, and we still don't see ourselves that way. Like we're super humble. You know, we don't play the whole, you know, I'm famous game. Right. On the contrary, when we meet people and they're like, oh my gosh, can I take a picture? Of course. Like, it's because of you that we are where we are, and that now we have a voice to talk about important stuff. And so I kind of feel like it's this symbiotic relationship where it's give and take. But we're super grateful for what we do. We feel like there's a need for healthy families now more than ever, especially with everything that's been happening in the pandemic. We know that there's a lot of people suffering, especially with mental health. Mm-hmm. And so, I just think it's really important for people like us who do have the thick skin to put ourselves out there and kind of encourage others to do the same thing.
Yeah, that's a fantastic way to say that. And I'm glad that you mentioned the mental health part of the pandemic. We've been really vocal about it. And I'm a therapist. And so I see it happening with kids more and more. Is tough to watch, you know, and hear about. We talked a little before the show started. Do you have a never thought I'd say this moment?
You know what? Like, I'm such a crazy parent that no, because even when I talk about really weird stuff, to me, it's normal, because I was raised in a house where my parents didn't really say much. Like, they didn't teach very much. And so, unfortunately, I fell into a lot of potholes in life. Whereas now, like, I will talk about the craziest stuff where I think that if other parents heard me talking, like, they would think I'm weird, but to me, it's perfectly normal. And so, like, we talk about sex, we talk about,
you'd fit like, in anything. With us perfectly.
Yeah. That's why you're welcome here. Yes, Alec Mappa, we were talking to his older son and talking about sex toys. And that was, you know, very open.
Right.
Healthy sexuality is super important.
That's why you have to be at this crazy table, because we believe the same things that you do.
Well, see, there's the table that she was talking about, but then there's like the kids table. And I think we're still there.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, they can't sit here with the adults. They have to, they're loud. And we're just throwing a party. We're like, hey.
Well, you mentioned being a trauma survivor, and I don't know if you are up to speaking a little bit about that, but I would assume that also probably affects parenting. And, you know, I've also come from some trauma. I was an abused child. I've talked about it on the show before. And so part of my never was I never actually thought I'd even be a parent and, you know, not hit my children. And I don't. So yet, I mean, I'm counting. We'll see, you know, but I'm not making any promises.
I feel like they've made it this far. You could be right.
You just jinxed me right there. I'm gonna slap someone just because you did that. I won't really. I swear, no one calls CPS. Good God.
Oh my gosh. I love your dynamic. Can I just tell you that? I love how you guys like work together. It's amazing.
And by amazing.
Oh, Celia, your internet is atrocious. We missed you.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
It's really terrible.
I don't know why.
It's because we have to do a show. That's why my internet's been bad too. I think it's the weather. It's been raining here.
Yeah, it's raining. Anyway, Rosanna, do you mind speaking at all about that? Is that awkward? You can say no and fuck myself. That's all right.
No, of course. Yeah. It started as a kid. I've been very vocal about speaking about being molested when I was 6, again, when I was 11.
Wow.
And from there, it just felt like it was one thing after another. When I was a student, I remember going to a bar with my friends on my birthday, and I had had a few drinks to celebrate my birthday. And one of my friend's boyfriends put his hand up my skirt. And I never reported it, because it was my word against his. And, you know, the whole culture of, well, how many drinks did she have and what was she wearing? And you know, I didn't want to get into any of that. There was a situation where, you know, one of my first jobs, I got flown to Miami with my boss, and like, mind you, I was like 21, 22, very, you know, young, attractive. And when I got there, he told me, you know, we have to sleep in the same bed together.
What?
Yeah. And so, and from there, it's been like, I was a student living in a basement apartment. And the landlord upstairs had opened up my door. And so when I came out of the shower, he was standing there at the doorway. Like, I'm telling you, it's been one after another in my life, to the point where like 10 years ago, you know, I was working and my boss would accidentally brush my boob. And at first I was like, is that an accident? Well, it turns out it wasn't like, and so that's what I mean. It's just been a journey of recognizing how shitty humanity can be. Mm-hmm. But because of all of that, I can now open my daughter's eyes. You know, I can tell her things like, you have to speak up. And if someone already makes you feel weird, don't stick around to see if something else is going to happen. And right. This is, you know, kind of also what I teach young girls and women who watch is you need to stand up for yourself. You need to be a voice for yourself. You know, you need to have boundaries. I had no boundaries as a kid.
Yeah.
And that was something that I needed to learn like in the last 5 years. And this is something that I'm teaching my daughter now, whereas like, you don't like where you are, you get up and you leave and you don't have
to. Which is a hard lesson.
Which is really hard. You know, we don't teach our kids that you have to be polite and respectful and smile and be a good kid. It's like, no, you don't like it, get out, and no explanations needed. And so, yeah, it's, that's part of my trauma, but there's been even more. Yeah. Like I was married when I was 18 to a man who was 6 years older. One night he tried to choke me. I mean, how much time do we have?
Well, I mean, but all of that, I think, you know, has probably made you who you are and obviously you've turned it into being a role model and showing people that you can come back. And exactly, we've talked about girls and being polite. Mm-hmm. And either, you know, we want our children to have manners. Like
they say on My Favorite Murder, fuck politeness.
Yeah, fuck politeness. Mm-hmm. You know, we want them to have manners, but fuck that. You're not comfortable.
I mean, I told the story on here before about how Zoe felt that she was inappropriately touched by a boy at school. And she stood up and went after it. Like, that was it. She has no time for that. And I'm so proud because, you know, Rosanna, like you were saying, like how many times do we think of all the things that we just took as women, as girls, because that was just, well, you don't want to say anything. Nobody will, you know. Yeah.
No one will believe you or my first instinct. Like, yeah, I would always freeze. You know, yeah. I was like a deer in headlights. And so I've had to get through that and teach my daughter when something happens, don't just freeze. Don't let people do things to you without you saying things. You know, because I feel like as humans, we block out, you know, uncomfortable situations and feel like it's just going to go away. You have to be vocal. And so that's something that I've, you know, tried to instill in my kids is just that vocalization and saying, no, stop, whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah.
And what a great example too, for your son to have such an incredibly powerful woman and female force in his life. You know, I think that's one of the things that we always talk about is, you know, why are we raising girls not to get sexually assaulted? Why aren't we raising boys who don't sexually assault women? You know, like that's the work that we need to do. And I commend you. I mean, your kids are awesome. I know that there's all kinds of shit that goes on behind the scenes because everyone's like, your family's so great. And I'm like, no. But no, I mean, I have met your children and they really are, you're doing a great job.
Thank you. But yeah, like you said, it doesn't come easy, right? Like you say, I'm having conversations with my son about, you know, you keep your hands and your body parts to yourself.
We're just going to ask.
I'm trying to teach my daughter, to love her sexuality, love her body. But yet we live in a world where when you do show skin, you know, society sexualizes children.
Right.
And so I'd like for her to stop wearing hoodies at some point with summer coming, but as soon as she shows a little bit of skin, here come the weirdos.
Right. I was going to say, I know from your social media, you just went through something like this and it was awful.
It was awful.
What happened?
I was going to say, do you mind telling us a little bit more about it? Or
of course.
Okay.
Yeah. We went through this situation where, you know, we do these funny challenges because, you know, the game on YouTube is either you're having babies or you're having a lot of drama in your life,
mm-hmm.
or you do, you know, lighthearted challenges and goofy stuff. And that's pretty much, you know, the direction that we've gone. But someone took an image of, you know, a game that we were playing that was supposed to be innocent and turned it into something really disgusting. And someone posted it on a Facebook page that we had no control over.
Oh my gosh.
That was supposed to be a fan page. And so we were getting messages from people saying, listen, this is up. It's awful what they're saying. All of these disgusting people were making awful comments. And it was heartbreaking as a parent, because I've always said that I will be in this social media game, this global platform, as long as my kids are protected. And to see my daughter, you know, suffering, I was like, you know, you really have to think, is this all worth it? Like, what are we doing here? Should we just shut everything down? And so we gave ourselves a good 3-4 weeks to kind of think the whole situation. And we did slowly come back. But now we just have to realize, like, every single move that we make, we have to be careful, because there are people out there who are going to try to exploit or, you know, try to hurt you in whatever way they can. And that's just the battle of good and evil that will exist forever.
Yeah, that's very well put. You know, and I think, you know, we've had talks about, even, you know, obviously I'm not as exposed as Jody is, but we've definitely had talks about how much our kids are getting, you know, exposed through this. Obviously Jody was dealing it with way before, you know, I was, and, you know, what can happen on social media. And we've tried really hard to use that as lessons for the, you know, our girls to see, like, mm-hmm. These are reasons that we're so cautious about things online, because it is so scary in so many ways. But like, you don't want to just shut down and give in to the terrorists, you know, like,
right.
Then what are you teaching them? You know, it's such a hard lesson, you know, to learn and to impart on them. And it's interesting that you said the stuff about the, you know, the sweatshirts, because mm-hmm. My daughter's 14, Harper, and she goes between sweatshirts to, you know, crop tops. And right. I'm like, I don't ever know what to say. Like, I don't want to encourage one way or the other. Although I will say this right now, her and her friend are really into corsets.
Mm-hmm.
She has been asking me for a corset. I'm like, I'm not getting you a corset. So her friend got one. She shows me a picture and I just kind of look at her, and I actually have two that used to be my sister's, and I take out the black one and I give it to her. She freaks out. I didn't know you had this. I
say,
you can have it. You can't keep it. It's still mine, but you can borrow it. She's like, yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. I love it. We go to look at a house the other day. Like, we're going to go and tour a house that I'm trying to get rental. She comes out, she's wearing a pair of baggy pants, a white shirt, and the corset over it. And I'm like, yeah, we're not going to look at the house with you wearing a corset. Like, why not? We never go anywhere. I just wanted it. And I'm like, because you're 14 and I don't want you wearing a corset out in public right now. Like,
Yeah. I feel like
a gamer, but I'm like, this is not appropriate. Like,
But isn't this every conversation between mother and daughter?
Yes.
Right. And I think now with moms like us who are, you know, and I will say, you know, to my mom's credit, my mom was actually quite open, and we did have a lot of conversations about things like that. In certain ways, I've sort of gone that next step and been even more open. And my mom and I were just talking about it today, where she said, you know, she told me it was the best thing ever. My mom goes, oh, honey, I've done things that would make your hair stand on end. and I just looked at her and I said, I fucking hope so.
Yeah.
But I hope so. I hope you enjoyed your youth with some stupid, hair-raising, wild things that obviously you survived and made it to now, and great. Like, I hope you did that.
Remember when she told us to watch Outlander and, like, yes, the first episode, and it's like all sex. And I just turned to her and I was like, your mom watches this.
She was like, oh, that's up.
Ah. And your mom was like, yeah, I watch it with my girlfriends. We have whiskey. Like,
it was the whole thing.
Goodness.
Well, I want to come to that party.
Yeah, right? But, like, my mom, you know, she did a really great job, I think, in that regard, and as far as like trying to normalize things and talk about it. And I think even like our generation of moms is even more so. And it's hard to find that, you know, and we talked about this with Alec Mappa when he was on the show. It is hard to find that balance. It's hard to find that balance of how much do I tell them, because now it's not like they can't find everything in the world and every wrong answer in the world on the internet. Or amongst their friends in a group chat. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, scary.
So it's just even that much easier. You know, it used to be a bunch of like eighth graders standing around in a circle talking about somebody that got a blowjob and being like, I wonder what they did. You know what I mean? Like having no fucking idea of like what actually happened other than like someone's mouth might've been near someone's penis. I don't know, yeah. But like that, you know, but you made up all this shit, like what it was and what happened and what it, and now it's like, they can find that, you know, in 5 minutes before that, you know, while they're sitting in math class, like, oh, it was a blue. Oh shit. You know? So like, if we don't arm them with some sort of information that's based in reality,
100%,
God knows what.
I mean, I was certainly the kid that if anyone ever said, you know, blowjob to me in like eighth grade, I was like thinking that meant like they were making like, you know, balloon animals or something together. Like, I don't,
I think there's no. They are sort of, but it's just one log wiener dog.
If no, that's legs. Not the title no of this legs.
Episode, it's very basic. It's actually just the balloon.
I really hope the title of this episode is One Long Wiener Dog. That's all. I got your blowing one long wiener dog. I don't
just
know.
One, yeah, just one long wiener dog. But,
I quote Michelle Obama about this stuff all the time because I saw her.
Wait, hold on. I thought you just said, I told Michelle Obama about this stuff all the time. I was like, wait, what?
I tell Michelle Obama things.
Why are you talking to Michelle Obama? Okay.
Michelle Obama things all the time. I don't think she listens to me, but I walk around. I'm like, you know what, Michelle Obama? Like, she's here just because.
When you're praying whatever, you know, Jewish rosary to Michelle Obama.
I do the same with Oprah.
There's not a Jewish rosary thing, but when you're like praying, like in what you've created, your religion.
Did you hear what Rosanna just said?
What?
She said she does that to Oprah.
Totally. Oprah,
Rosanna?
We're bros.
Wait. Oh, wait. Yet again. Celia, you're so excited.
I am.
You need to tell your fucking Oprah story. Okay. Bring Rosanna up to speed on Oprah and why you're so special.
Okay. First of all, Oprah has hugged me 3 times.
Really?
3 times. And that's not even the most exciting part of the story, but kind of it is. I was in the audience that she took to Australia in the last season. So I went to Australia with Oprah and I actually found out that I was pregnant with my second child there. And I didn't tell my then husband. I told a producer because I used to be in TV and they told Oprah and she said, oh my gosh, can she wait and not tell him? And I'll help her tell him.
Oh my goodness.
And that aired on her show. So my youngest daughter's middle name is Winfrey. I have on Facebook where it says religion, I say the Church of Oprah. That is my religion on there because I love her so much. It's same. Like I hear her voice, I calm down. It's like that everything just makes me feel better. As long as Oprah is in the world, I'm all right. And we watched my daughter and I, my oldest one, we watched the interview, the big Meghan Markle
interview. Yeah.
And at some point in it, Harper just says to me, Mom, what happens when Oprah dies? I went, shut your mouth.
That will never happen.
Dare speak. No.
Why?
It'll be like the Dalai Lama and the reincarnate will take over.
Who will that be?
She's going to have to start searching now. Don't they have to start looking now? Or is it once the Dalai Lama? I'm not exactly sure, but I feel like there's some sort of thing that happens there. Dalai Lama is currently saying he may not pick a successor.
Yeah, I can't wrap my head. That's not even a day that I'm ever going
to. We're not going to.
Oprah is my mother. She just doesn't know it.
Right. Yes. Mama Oprah. I mean, that's what they all call it. Mama O. Yeah. Anyway, that's my Oprah story. Jody's heard it 5 million gazillion times. And so is this whole fucking
audience. And so have our listeners. But yeah, I think no one ever gets tired of how stupidly excited you get to tell your Oprah story.
I really
think. And also that I sort of make fun of her about it because at this point it's like, it's the story. It's like, if you know Celia, you know the Oprah story.
Well, and you know, she said,
and also, by the way, if I had the Oprah story, I would be saying it all the fucking time too. But by no means am I exempt from that. It's just that I don't have the Oprah story. So I just tease you about
it. Just make fun of me.
I think we need an Oprah story. The three of us.
Yeah.
The four of us.
We're going to put it on Oprah. Oprah. Come on down. You have been called. We want you here. Right. I just feel like I'm constantly Oprah's what? Like when she just, what? Yeah. Like that moment, that's just my head all the time, whether it's my kids or the news or a comment on Instagram. I'm just like, what? Just utterly confused and baffled by it all, really.
Harper picked out an outfit for me the other day and I full on said, I don't want to wear that. I don't want to look like a schlumpadinka. I want to look cute, which is a complete Oprah. That's an Oprah-ism, schlumpadinka. She made it up if you're like in like trashy, baggy sweatshirts, sweatpants, sweatshirt. She's like, I'm not going out looking like a schlumpadinka. That's what she used to say all the time. And so that's like in my vernacular is a schlumpadinka.
I feel like you should check and make sure that no schlumpadinkas are are being profiled in your comment.
It's.
I feel like during a pandemic, we're all in schlumpadinkas.
You saw what happened when Jodi Sy was in jeans today. She was like, what? You're in jeans? You're in pants?
You guys, I got ready today for the, I put fancy yoga pants on.
Are those your new ones from Sweaty Betty?
From Sweaty Betty. And I have Mama B's amazing, I was telling you, like super comfy little drapey yoga like cape. And a nice little Stitch Fix tank top. And this is, I'm dressed up. Okay, I have lipstick on. That's as big as it gets.
I showered and I am as per usual in all Free People everything, including my jeans, because that's what that's how I roll. I'm obsessed with Free People and I always will be, and I really don't care.
Well, Rosanna, tell us the name of your clothing line and talk a little bit about it. So you can also get obsessed with that. Because I'm telling you, it's so comfy, but it's like a really beautiful, nice.
It looks very lovely.
Like, I feel dressed up and not like a schlumpadinka.
See?
Celia, I'm going to send you one too, okay?
What? Oh my God. Yes.
Of course.
Yay. Thank you.
Listen, this brand is for goddess warriors. And where I got that idea is, you know, all the clothes are black. And the reason I do that is first because most of my wardrobe is black. I'll be honest with you. Like, I tend not to think too much about what I'm wearing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually helped me with anti-aging because I use my energy for other things. And so that's the first thing. And the second thing is it's very symbolic for me because as women, like, why are we in the year 2021 and we're still fighting for gender equality? Why are our children still being sexualized? Why is there human trafficking? And so to me, you know, it's very symbolic of a world that I mourn for. Like, I'm mourning this existence on this planet because we should have come so much farther than we are now. And with this brand, I just wanted to give women like something to wear that's super comfortable. Like, I'm at a point in my life where I don't want to show my everything anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and why is it that as soon as we eat a burger, people are like, oh my gosh, are you pregnant? Like, you can see everything because of the clothing that we wear. Like, everything is so tight.
Yeah.
And I don't like to be asked if I'm pregnant just because I had an extra taco. Right. And so the clothing is super comfy and it's ethically made. It's made in Canada. You know, no one is being hurt or tortured making the clothing. Everyone gets paid fairly. And so it's just another way of wanting to change the world. You know, like, I've tried to change the world in many other ways. I don't know how successful I've been, but it's just getting the conversation going and saying there's a better way to do things. And so if you want to check it out, it's mamabee.tv. And so far I have 3 items, but there's a whole bunch more that are being developed right now.
Now, Jodi looks like she's wearing, it's like a Cardi kind of thing.
I'll even model it for you if I can make it.
I will describe it.
It's like
beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Look at you.
It's a long, drapey cardigan. I'm telling the listeners.
With pockets.
Pockets. You know me. What the hell do I do with my hands if I don't have pockets?
And it's gorgeous. It's tailored in it, and it goes right down past her tushy. Mid thigh about.
Yeah, and it's got an asymmetrical hem, and it's made out of. It's got like that stretchy material to it. That's like a nice drapey, comfy
Mm-hmm. The line, you know, it's just, on it.
Like I said, I love it. And there's the pants that I got with it. Sorry, I just dragged my computer across the floor. I'm sure Emily's going to love that in sound. but the pants with it too, have, they're like little kind of cargo pants, but they're like fitted. Mm-hmm. And they're mm-hmm. so comfy, and they're, you can do anything in them. Like that's
I love that cardigan for like beginning and ending of yoga. That's what I would think that's like perfect for, because it's all, it looks very flowy, and I practice every day. So I would like, that seems like the perfect thing if you practice yoga as well.
I love that. Fellow yogi here. Absolutely. I am.
Oh, right. Jody, tell me that.
Yeah. I love comfortable wear, especially like before and after. And this is, and you can put a belt around this, around the waist. And it's just, it's super flattering. And again, it just doesn't show every little nook and cranny of our bodies.
Right.
Yeah, and it doesn't collect pet hair.
What?
Oh my God. That's the best thing.
I need it's, that the most.
Dude. We just, we adopted a dog she's still away at doggy boarding camp, by the way. She has been gone. She's learning how to be nice to people and not be an asshole.
You literally like, you sent your like juvenile delinquent dog to boarding school.
I did. I sent her, she got sent to boarding school, but then we get trained when she comes back.
Ooh.
Much like when someone comes back and you have family therapy, and really it's usually the family that's the problem and not just the identified patient. Right. She is the identified patient, and we need to learn how to operate in a healthier dynamic.
All right.
But she is fucking hairy, and she's a husky German Shepherd mix. And I didn't know that much hair could come off of a dog without it being bald.
Right.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
So with this clothing, it doesn't stick.
I'm gonna roll around on the dog when she comes back.
Yeah. I have two cats, cat hair too, because cat hair.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had some women who are like, oh my gosh, it doesn't pick up pet dander. And so that's the thing now, is I'm trying to get into other fabrics, but I keep thinking about the pet hair in the fabric.
Right?
That
and you're like every mom that's like, God, just get this. I like everything I own now, especially as someone that likes black. I'm like this. I can't. I look
right.
You know, I would be a millionaire if cat hair was worth something. Also, I feel like I should start making cat hair sweaters or something. Like,
they're gorgeous sweaters. You know, look, it's a pandemic. Anything goes. You can do whatever you want now. It doesn't have anything on Etsy.
There's a TikTok video that my daughter Harper showed me the other day that makes me laugh every time she shows it to me. It's a girl who's brushing her cat. She gets all the cat hair off, and there's like so much cat hair, it's ridiculous. And she's holding it, and then she shapes it into a little sombrero and puts it on the cat's head. Every time I see it, I don't know who she is, but I love her. I'm just saying.
So much. I had a mound like this. Luckily, wow. It's good for my composting bin because I am now gardening, because that's what I decided to get into in the pandemic. But yeah, you can use hair in a compost bin because it's just a, you know, carbon-based thing.
I just fly around. I have like a, you know, do-do-do-do-do, like it just dust bunnies of cat
Roomba?
Hair.
Oh, that, yeah, like tumbleweeds. You know what I'm really glad though, is that we touched on this really serious topic of pet hair problems. Yeah.
Our
listeners are like frantically writing shit down, like, you know, the little kids, like get the little lint roller for the car. That's, you know, when you have kids,
it's a real problem.
Your life is kids and pets.
Right. Yeah. Right. I think it's whatever, you know, I just think about all the time. I'm like, there are just two other things that I have to clean up after. And I don't know. I mean, they are what they are, but I my kids don't get hair on my clothing. So I do, you know, have the issue with the cats, which, by the way, if our listeners heard something that sounded like something was being tortured at one point in the background, that was George Michael, the three-legged cat, running around screaming at the other cat. I really couldn't tell you why, but I was like, couldn't tell if you guys could hear, but he was yelling.
I heard something.
Yeah, that was him. Okay. Not me. That wasn't my boyfriend. I guess I should just stress that. That wasn't Dustin. It was the fucking cat.
Okay, got it. Well, Rosanna, I just love having you in the world. You make it a better place. You really do. Your strength is so admirable. And you know, what are you guys up to next? Like, what do we get to see next?
Yeah, what's next?
From you.
We have a lot of really cool stuff coming up. We have a cartoon that is being created of our family. And we cannot wait until that comes out. But as you know, cartoons take a really long time.
Right.
And so we're hoping that that comes out by the end of the year. Both our kids sing. And so our daughter has gone on tour across the US. She went on tour across Europe. And she has a new album coming out, which we're super excited about. Our son is singing. Aww. He has always had an incredible voice, but he's very shy like me. And so for him to put himself out there, it's incredible because he is the reincarnation of Frank Sinatra.
Oh my gosh.
I'm telling you right now. Wow. And my daughter is the reincarnation of Freddie Mercury.
Oh my gosh.
She's so talented. It's great. My girls have looked up to her. I mean, from the time we met, they like Zoe and B just thought she was the coolest and have followed her on social media. And yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. They look up to her very much. And she has been a great example for them. Wait.
I told you.
Yay.
I remembered.
See? One of us finally remembered. Okay, Rosanna, just real quick, I'll tell you, we started a game on the show. We were going to do it weekly. And the first week that we were going to do it, we forgot. So, so that tends to be how this goes. And she said in the chat, don't forget game. And I was like, she knows me because she knows when I'm going to wrap something up and then when I'm going to forget it. So we play a game. It's called The And. It's something, it's not... We own no stock in it. We don't get paid for it. It's a game that I had bought for my boyfriend and I, and Celia had got for her boyfriend and I. And then we found out there was like all these different versions, like for friends and for sisters, family, and all this kind of stuff. So we started playing it for friends, but it's basically just a question about something personal, not, you know, like ridiculously personal, but just like something that maybe you never would have thought you'd say or think about. So, Celia, you have it up and ready to go.
I picked one. And actually, this is a good one because I think it will help. You guys can do it together as well.
Okay. Okay.
So, Jody, how about you and I will go first, and then you and Rosanna can do it.
Okay.
Sounds good.
I think it will work. The question is, how have I changed since we first met? And what do you miss about me? You're like, nothing. You're still a dick.
So I have to answer this about you.
Yes. And then I have to answer about you.
Okay. What do I miss about you? I mean, we became friends. How have you changed? I mean, you know what? I think you have gone through some life experiences that have changed you, you know, losing your sister, losing Julie. Mm-hmm. And coming through the other side of that and surviving something that felt so painful that you didn't think that you would, has made you a stronger, more resilient woman. And I don't even necessarily think it's made you a stronger, more resilient woman. It's made you realize that you are a stronger and more resilient woman. And I think that's the important thing. I think the stuff is always there. It's just how much we are able to realize it in our own selves. And I have seen you become more of that. And what do I miss? I don't know. Like, there's nothing that's like changed. I feel like that you've like lost, you know what I mean? I feel like you've evolved, but I don't think that necessarily, like, it's not like you've, well, you know what? I'll say this. You've gotten a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I've got my boyfriend moved in.
I was going to say the same thing.
Uh-huh. So it's I think just like the fact that, and the pandemic changed it. You practically lived at my fucking house, as did all my friends. And so that changed a lot of my friendships because it was no longer like the doors always open, people coming through, sent, you know, hub. Yeah.
Every other Friday night dinners with the kids. Right.
But you know, you and I did that. And so I have it, and it's shifted a little bit, but that would be it. I
would have said the missing thing would have been the exact same thing. We were both married when we met online. That's different.
I mean, I'm sure we're not the first person to say that, but I don't know about in this context.
Probably not. I didn't mean it like that. We weren't dating each other while we were married. Good Lord. But we both went through divorces. Since we met, and I would think, you know, listen, you found your voice in a way that I you know, it changed you. It changed sort of everything, I think, in the best way possible. And just watching you go from actress to, you know, keeping at being in, you know, the entertainment business and being an actress has been pretty amazing to watch, which I know I've said before, but I think that's the biggest, you know, that's the biggest change is just seeing how, again, same as, you know, you went through some stuff as well and came out the other side, and you used your, what the strength that you've always had to be very outspoken and take on a lot of hate because of it. And it didn't stop you at all. And it's, I'm always so in awe and proud of you. And it makes me just, you know, love you even more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Your friendship is so beautiful.
Thank you.
As we make at each other.
So now, I mean, so Rosanna, you and I'll do it now since you and I have a bit of a history, a friendship. Mm-hmm. I would say the thing that I've seen in you is that you have stepped into this role of goddess warrior, like you talked about, like real fear. And I know that you always have been that, and that's always been a piece of you, but I really feel like watching sort of where you started with doing the videos and the fun and the, all of that to really where you have transitioned into, this is your purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's what you do for fun. And that's how you got to do what your purpose is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just feel like I've watched you sort of step into that and come out of that. You know, like you said, you're more quiet and shy, but you, I feel like you've really crossed into this place of owning your power and ability to speak.
Wow. I adore you.
I adore you too. Aww. I do. I've always said, I'm like, Rosanna was one of those heart friends that you meet and just instantly you're like, I know you. I know you somehow.
Yeah.
Like, just get you. So.
Yeah. Well, I think because we've both been through a lot in our lives and we have transformed that pain to power, mm-hmm. and not just for ourselves, but for others. And so for you, Jody, very much like I grew up watching you. I grew up, you know, watching you on Full House, and I adored you then. I adored you in the new season, and I adore you even more now in your role as badass, you know, saying what you want to say to the point where even I'm like, oh God, oh God, oh God.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I fear for you because, you know, even though I'm strong, I'll be honest, like I'm an empath and I have like a super big heart and people's words do hurt me. But when I see you and the things that you say and the things that you fight for, like kudos to you. Like you have gigantic balls between your legs.
Thank you.
They are phenomenal. Like, let me just tell you that as a woman, I bow to you. I bow to your courage and your outspokenness. And I hope that you just keep getting louder and louder and louder.
Me too.
Thank you.
And what I miss is hanging out with you.
No, I know. I was so bummed when we missed each other when I was shooting that one time. Yeah. And you know, it's not like we can just pop by and see each other, but I'm so glad that we got to see your face. Will you please tell our listeners where they can find you on the internet?
Absolutely. You can search for us under, actually, if you search for the Bee Family, you can find us. Otherwise it's EHBEE Family, but my daughter is Gabriella Bee. My son is Mr. Bee. I'm Mama Bee. But yeah, if you search for the Bee Family, you will find something hopefully that'll make you laugh or that will resonate and connect you with us, on this crazy journey of life that we're on together.
Yes, 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 yes. And your husband is amazing, by the way. And I know for a long time was the one that edited all of your videos, which is probably why he doesn't have his own social media. Cause he's like, I'm just in a closet editing somewhere.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's kind of like the brains behind everything and the technology guy. And he feels happy seeing us happy. And so with the kids now and their music and my son is gaming, you know, he feeds off of that and just knowing that there's other kids looking to them and hopefully they step out, you know, and share their voice.
I love it. I love it. Well, if you have been listening to the podcast and have not followed us on Instagram yet, I don't know what you're doing because you should. And we post pictures on there of our guests. We do lives. We post inappropriate memes, you know, the usual. But you can follow us at Never Thought I'd Say This on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. No, Twitter. No, they can't. Never mind. What am I saying? God damn it. I screw this up every time. I got the intro right. Okay. I got the intro right. You do this.
Unreal. Yeah.
It's the rain. My brain is no, you know what it is? I had to take my migraine medication and my brain is on a 3-second delay. So I feel like an idiot. Like I don't know what words are going on.
My computer is on a 3-second delay. So I, you know, don't worry about it. You guys can follow me at the Celia Behar on Instagram. We're still trying to get me to 10K, but every time I'm close, I post something, then people like hate my guts and unfollow me. So I just
riding the wave follows and unfollows. Right.
I'm like, oh, well.
And you can find me on Instagram at Jody Sweeten, as well as Twitter is at Jody Sweeten. And I'm on there posting all kinds of ridiculous things, sometimes gardening, sometimes political, sometimes kids, sometimes
dumb pictures of us.
Yeah, you know, whatever it is. But anyway, we want to thank you so much for coming on the show, Rosanna. It's been an absolute pleasure. You guys make sure to check her out. Check out the family. They're hilarious. And she does some really, really impactful work in the world. So thank you so much. And remember, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Never Thought I'd Say This is a co-production by Audioboom and Main Event Media.